From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. The current message is called A Worthy Goal for Every Year, and although it was preached on New Year's Day of 2006, its truths are applicable for every day of every year. The text is chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers. And expounding this prayer, Dr. Cairns sets forth a series of goals which ought to characterize the life of every child of God. He has emphasized the need for progress in the Christian life. In addition, there is the seeking after the fullness which God desires for His people. Then, Paul prayed that those believers might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, the chief end of the Christian's life should be to live in holiness, in obedience to the Lord who said, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in a few minutes. First, we call your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, God's Promise Keeps. The text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. We must not expect to see an immediate reward for all the good we do, nor must we always confine our efforts to places and persons which seem likely to yield us a recompense for our labors. The Egyptian casts his seed upon the waters of the Nile, where it might seem a sheer waste of corn. But in due time the flood subsides, the rice or other grain sinks into the fertile soil, and rapidly a harvest is produced. Let us today do good to the unthankful and the evil. Let us teach the careless and the obstinate. Unlikely waters may cover hopeful soil. Nowhere shall our labor be in vain in the Lord. It is ours to cast our bread upon the waters. It remains with God to fulfill the promise, Thou shalt find it. He will not let His promise fail. His good word which we have spoken shall live, shall be found by us. Perhaps not just yet, but some day we shall reap what we have sown. We must exercise our patience, for perhaps the Lord may exercise it. After many days, says the Scripture, and in many instances those days run into months and years, and yet the word stands true. God's promise will keep. Let us mind that we keep the precept, and keep it this day.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
God's people are not meant to live on empty. In Christ, this is Paul's expression here to this very Colossian church. In Christ, there is all fullness. All fullness. John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 16, of his fullness of all we received, and grace upon grace, grace piling on top of grace. That's how he describes it, fullness. You remember what the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I know that's true of the eternal state, but it's true now. That's why when we get to the New Testament, it speaks of fullness regarding every area of Christian experience. There's a fullness of assurance. I don't want to get into church history and especially historical theology this morning. It's a fascinating study. But one of the marks of the Protestant Reformation was their doctrine of assurance. Then, as now, it ran contrary to the dictates of papal theology, which then held and still held that assurance in this life is impossible. The reformers, on the other hand, spoke of assurance as being normal. Some of them went even further and made it essential. I think they were wrong on that. But I can understand how they reached it. It's because they themselves were enjoying, as did the apostle, such a fullness of assurance. This is what he says to the Colossians here in chapter 2, verse 2. The full assurance of understanding. Speaks again of the same fullness of assurance in Hebrews 10 and 22. There's a fullness of hope. The hope of a Christian is not the vague wish that something good will happen. There was a thing that soloists in Northern Ireland, I'm sure they did it here too, for this was an American production. But soloists in Northern Ireland, forgive me if I say that sometimes soloists are the dumbest people on earth. In that if they like the tune, they'll sing anything. I have heard Christians sing the greatest load of heretical rubbish. If I was to preach it, I'd get thrown out on my ear. But they can sing it because it has a nice little tune to it. And there was a while, one of them actually came to my church, and she was a very nice singer. And the strange thing is, a very good and godly woman. But on this occasion, she sang her swan song because she came and she sang this rubbish. Something good is going to happen to you. I said, that's enough of that. If that's the gospel, God help us, we're in trouble. If that's the gospel, we are in trouble. I don't even think there's help from God for such a gospel. That's rubbish. That's not the hope of a Christian. What is the hope of a Christian? It's an assured hope, and it's a full hope. It's an overflowing certainty. That's the glory, you see, of biblical hope. It's not an uncertain thing. Biblical hope is a certainty that we're waiting for in the knowledge it's going to happen. That's biblical hope. There's a fullness of joy. A fullness of joy. Doesn't say a fullness of happiness. There'll be times when you're not particularly happy. I have to be honest, if I get a blinding headache, I don't feel terribly happy. If you have had the misfortune to be one of those people in the area recently who had the stomach flu, I'm sure you weren't feeling particularly happy about it. But joy goes a lot deeper. Do you ever try to define joy? I'd like you to try it. You'll find it's not an easy word to define, because we naturally go to stick it into the category of mere happiness, which I always emphasize in English, not in Hebrew or Greek or Latin, but in English. It is a word related to what is happening. Joy goes much deeper than that. Let me give you some lines that you may pursue as you try to define joy. Joy is deep-hearted pleasure. It's that which is pleasing to the soul. It's a pleasure in the experience of what God has done for us, what Christ is doing for us, and in the prospect of what He is yet to do for us. Unlike happiness, which focuses on the moment, joy focuses on the Master. And there is a fullness of joy, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 8. There's a fullness of goodness. Paul wrote to the Romans of this in chapter 15 and verse 14. There's a fullness of goodness. Oh, how often we lament the wickedness of the old heart, the flesh with all its propensity to betray the work of grace and fight the movement of the Spirit. The flesh is so corrupt that Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing," and the mind of the flesh is incapable of being changed. It must be subjugated, must be defeated. That's what he was teaching to the church at Rome. But yet, despite that, he says, you can have a fullness of goodness. And to sum it all up, you can live, as he put it in one of my favorite expressions in the whole New Testament, in Romans 15:29, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Work backwards. Christ, the gospel of Christ, the blessing of the gospel of Christ, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's what there is for God's people, and that's God's goal for us. I've said many times from this pulpit that there are certain passages of Scripture to which I constantly revert, and especially when I'm down or troubled, I will come back to these well-worn passages. 1 Peter chapter 1 is one such passage. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians, that's another such passage. And especially Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's other great prayer in Ephesians for the church there. And he prayed for them, if we could break in at verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, or the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And then this tremendous statement, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? In ultimate terms, I can't tell you, because it defies definition. It goes beyond anything I can define. But let me put this to you. When God communicated to the Lord Jesus Christ fullness. You see, there is in Christ a fullness that belongs to his deity, but there is a fullness given him as the mediator by which God, according to his covenant, communicated to him the fullness of the gifts and the graces, the power and the ability necessary for the completion of his work. We read some of this from Isaiah chapter 11 during the Christmas services, when there was the promise of the Spirit in the sevenfold fullness of the Spirit that God gave to Christ the mediator. Now, when he communicated fullness to him, what was it? It was the abounding ability to fulfill the will of God for him. Now, on a different level, what does it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? It means to receive from him in abounding fullness all the gifts and all the graces that are necessary to live the Christian life right up to the standard of the will of God for us. God's goal for us individually and as a church is progress. God's goal for us individually and as a church is fullness. And God's goal for us individually and as a church is holiness. And you'll see how he sets this goal before us in three major areas, and I will have time only to sketch them out. He speaks first of the will of God, that ye might be filled with the full or developed or mature knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Or, as I think the text would indicate, we could switch where spiritual is, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What's he saying here? The discovery of God's will, that's what we must know. We must know what it is. And then conformity to God's will. I repeat a quotation, or as near as I can remember to it being a quotation, from Dr. Bob Jr. He used to say that God does not reveal his will to people in order for them to question it. God does not reveal his will to us to speculate upon. God does not reveal his will to us to argue about. God reveals his will to us to obey it, to fulfill it. The discovery of God's will, that you might be filled with this knowledge, and conformity to God's will in all that follows in bringing it out in our lives.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.